Tonight, if you would notice, chapter 5 is a chapter of lived and died. It is a chapter of generations of Adam. But Scripture doesn't, God didn't write Scripture just for the purpose of having something to write. All of it has a purpose. If you'll notice, there's about three words I want you to notice in this passage. I want you to notice a couple of people and a couple of words. One, in verse 1, Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created Adam, in the likeness of God made he him. I want you to understand we're in God's image. I don't know what the Lord looks like in heaven, but we're created in His image, so He looks something like us. His character is different. His holiness is different. It won't be when we step foot inside heaven. But now He is different than we are, but we're in His likeness. Now, I want you to notice image or likeness, certain ways we can. I want you to notice this. Number one, we are to be righteous like Him. His image, His likeness, His deity, Him, He is righteous. Now, to be righteous literally is to be right according to the law. So all of us in this room, I would ask this question, are you in His image? Are you right according to the law? Do you abide by the principles of Scripture? The Lord wrote the laws of Scripture, and every one of them are from His heart. He would fulfill every word of the Scriptures. Do we work at that? Are we in His image? Now, we're going to get to what this results in a minute. But you'll notice He was righteous. He is holy. He cannot stand sin. He hates sin with a passion. There is something in His heart that He is opposed to sin. There's something in His heart that He just can't stand to be around it. Now, we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. So one of the greatest difficulties of the Lord Jesus was to live in a perfect heaven and come and to live in this cursed world. Well, it ought to be one of our greatest difficulties is living in and around sinners and yet trying to be holy. Notice if you would, He says, in His likeness, in the likeness of God made He man. So we at one point in time had the same holiness, the same mindset. Do we now? We have a new heart. We have a new direction. We have a new purpose, but do we have this holiness that God has? There should be in every one of us a hatred of sin. There should be in every one of us this despicableness toward sin. If we don't develop a hatred toward sin, everybody in this room, I'll show you the end result. As a church, any group that does not have a hatred of sin, when I say hatred of sin, not necessarily the sinner, but of what they do. And we can't be around that. We can't be around this. We can't be around that. We don't enjoy being around people that commit these sins. We might be gracious to them and we might be good to them, but it's not somebody we enjoy running around with and spending time with because the directions are so dissimilar. Now, notice if you would the result of being in the likeness of Christ, but not having a hatred of sin or a holiness of heart. Look over in chapter 6. If you'll notice in verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. If you and I, that is the fruit of not having a violent in your heart hatred of sin. I mean, it just gets to you. It just bothers you. You just can't take it. You can't be around lying. You can't be around untruthfulness. And young people, you can't sit in class and be around cheaters and people like that that want to cheat in class, that want to run their parents down. You just don't enjoy being around that. It doesn't mean you're mean to those people. You mature enough to learn that there's always going to be people like that. And that you want to try to reach out to them to win them to the Lord. But there is a distance and your heart has a wall around it. Your heart has a wall around it like the God of heaven. He cannot stand sin. But He gave His Son to break the wall down that you and I might be holy like Him. But are we? Are we holy in this room? Are you holy? Do you have this hatred of sin? The likeness of God, not just in visage, not just in form, but we have a hatred of sin in our heart like the Lord. Notice, if you would, not only that, but we're to have a knowledge of right like Him. If you have your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 3. I want you to see this. Colossians chapter 3. Notice with me, if you would. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed, or it is remade, or rebuilt, or renovated, in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. The way you rebuild your life into His image is that you have the knowledge of what He is like. If you're going to replicate something, you've got to have a very clear picture of what the original is. And so the Lord said, I made man in my image, but they veered off. That's why God the Father sent His Son, was to pay our debt that we might come back to Him. Now I want you to notice in this passage, in Colossians, notice the word that He uses here in Colossians chapter number 3. Notice with me, if you would, if I get back over there, I turn my page off. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. And have put on the new man. Hear it? Do you see it? And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image. So there's two parts to becoming in the image of Christ. One is that you put off the old man. You look and see the things that Christ, that God the Father does not have. He does not lie. He does not cheat. He does not blaspheme. In other words, He does not do the thing that dishonors the Lord. Give credit to someone else. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. These are ingredients that is in all mankind now. Look at it. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. There is a sin of the mind. Notice, evil concupiscence, lusts or cravings. It is a lust gone crazy, a desire that's out of control. He said, no one is in His image like that. We're in Joshua Club tonight. I thought a great illustration of this was one of our men was on a bus and a gentleman just really got upset and started screaming and yelling, walked up to the bus driver, started screaming and yelling, not cursing, but just being upset with him because it's going to make him late to work. He's in the wrong lane. He needs to drive better. And he turns around and he saw on his shirt a sign that says, Got Jesus. He said, you know what? Nobody on that bus would want to listen to that, to listen to him. So if you and I are not in His image, we lose the ability to describe what God is like and how good He is. We lose the ability and the privilege of being able to say, my God is wonderful. Because our life does not resemble His. And you'll notice in verse 10 of Colossians 3, and have put on the new man which is renewed. It is rebuilt in knowledge after the image. So you've got to know what God is like. You've got to know what He dislikes and what He likes. You've got to understand His heart. You've got to understand the things that He loves and the thing that He hates. He loves righteousness. He hates sin. He loves kindness. He hates meanness. He loves grace. He hates law. He is, to all of us in this room, He is the perfect balance and blend of what we're to be. And if we could see God tonight, we could say, that's what I want to be like. And that is why He made us, to be little Christs, little gods like Him. That was His intent and purpose, that He could fellowship with us. And we blew it. Now, back over to Genesis. Notice, if you would, before you turn there, if you still got your finger in Colossians, turn back one book to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see this. Verse 14. Notice, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Here it is. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Everyone that is in the image of Christ is going to shine like that, because we are different. Genesis chapter 5, God made us different. He made us like Him in His image. And we blew it. We have chosen not to be like Him. Why? Well, notice in this verse 15 that He says that we're surrounded by, in the midst of, a crooked and perverse generation. Someone that's crooked is someone that has gone from the straight and narrow. It's someone that's perverse, has gone from the truth and from right. And folks, we live in a world like that. We're not going to fix everybody. We're not going to fix most of the world. But the world doesn't have to influence us. The world doesn't have to affect us. You can shine as a light. And the world doesn't have enough blankets to cover up a light of Christ. The world cannot throw enough sin at us to get us to do it. And as long as we don't commit the same sins as the world does, now I want you to, two things. One, as long as we don't commit the sin the world does habitually, that's not a part of our life, then we can shine. And when we do fall and stub our toe, we admit it and say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I'm going to make plans not to do that ever again. You see, you can't respect someone that lives wrong all the time. Their light's broken. But you can respect someone that lives right almost all the time and stubs their toe and turns at you and says, I'm sorry. I didn't handle that right. I was wrong. Whether it's your wife, or whether it's your parents, or whether it's a teenage boy, you know what it does for a parent's heart if a teenage boy or a teenage girl says, Mom, I didn't handle this right at school. I did this or I did that. I didn't do my homework the way I should have. And you know, I got a bad grade. I'm sorry. It was my fault. You know how many parents hear that? It's rare. You know what they want to do? Well, the teacher to give the assignment quick enough. Or the teacher this, or the teacher that. That's the world we live in. It is always to blame someone else. That's the world. It's a crooked generation. To be righteous, to be in God's image, is to do what's right all the time. But you can still make it right by saying, I'm sorry, I didn't do it right. Will you forgive me? And change our pattern. Folks, that's the best any of us can do. But if you live right most of the time and don't make it right, the part that you don't do what's right, then you'll never have the great testimony. You'll never have a light that shines all the time. Notice, if you would, in this same passage, he says this, verse 15, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. There are going to be people that are going to rejoice because you do what is right. Parents rejoice when children do what's right. Children rejoice when parents do what's right. Churches rejoice when members do what's right. Heaven rejoices when you do what's right. Now, are you in His image or not? Are you shining or not? It is our works that do the shining. Matthew 5, and we'll go back to Genesis after this. Matthew 5. Notice, if you would, verse number 16. I hope you have it underlined in your Bible. I do. Every time I read the New Testament, every month, this verse can jump out at my heart. Let your light so shine before men. What is your light? It's your testimony. It's what people see about you. It's the totality of your life. It's not your every minute walk of perfection. It's your holy life and making right the wrongs that you do. It's your light. And everybody here's got one. Every teenager's got a light. And you know, when I see a bunch of teenagers huddle up and boy, they're whispering and laughing and cutting up, you know, most of the time that's not good. Just like you see a huddle group over near the water fountain and they're kind of keeping away from everybody else. Secrecy is almost always bad. The deeds of men are evil, therefore they love darkness. So we want to try to get alone. So be careful. Because your light has got to shine all the time. Notice verse 16. Let your light, your testimony, so shine before men that they may see your good works. Your good works compose your light. They make your light shine or go dim. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lift Him up, point toward His image. This is what God is like, sort of. I am nothing like Him, but I'm sort of like Him. I'm in His image. So everyone in this room can be a light. Every one of us in this room can be in His image. But it is diligent work every day. It is an effort as a wife to always have the right spirit. It is an effort as a husband to always have the right spirit. It is an effort as a teenager to always have the right spirit. You say, how often do I have to always hold things in? Well, you're supposed to not have anything to hold in. You're supposed to be right. But sometimes we get where we want to hold things in. That's the flesh most of the time. So is your light shining? Are you in His image? Now, notice if you would back over to Genesis chapter number 5. You'll notice then He gives the lineage of Adam. And through his son Seth. And you'll notice in Genesis 4:26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son. So you begin to see Seth's line. And notice, if you would, in verse 6 of chapter 5, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And then you follow down the line here, and there are people, and every one of them you find they lived so many years and died. Folks, everybody in this room, unless the rapture comes, we're going to fit on a page just like that. My question is, were you in His image while you lived? Folks, I've been to a lot of people that were dying. Hospitals, deathbeds. It's not fun unless someone did right. It's a homegoing when they did right. There's a different feeling in the room. There's a different something. It's the presence of the Lord. It's the presence of the light, of His image. Everybody in this room, I have in my Bible underlined, and he died, and he died, and it's got all kinds of underlines on that page. Now, nobody in this room is dead yet. So I want you to notice verse number 24. You'll notice verse 22, Enoch walked with God. All of a sudden, just like out of the blue, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God, and after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and now everybody else lived 800-900 years. This is before the flood came, and there was almost a barrier around the earth, and men lived longer. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You find very rarely, even before the flood, that men walk with God. Now, Seth was the righteous line. But somehow, some way, the righteous line veered off. They were created in the image of God and they veered off. It's the nature of man to veer off. It's the nature of God to go straight, to do right, to let your light shine. Now, folks, every one of us in this room, we have both natures. Our nature that we're born with is an evil one. It's perverse and crooked. And Jesus Christ comes into our heart. We say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I want you to forgive me my sin. He gives us, he takes away our sin, writes our name in the book of life, and gives us a new nature. Now, we have this new nature, this new man in our heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, will you yield to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is our guide in life. He will help you let your light shine. And so as you walk in life and the Holy Spirit says, I wouldn't do that. We sense the Holy Spirit's guiding and leading through God's Word. So if we leave out God's Word and we don't hide God's Word in our heart, the Holy Spirit has very little in tools to work with. And so we pick up rules to live by from some place. It's either God's Word, or it's at school, or it's at work. It's the patterns of others. It's what other people are successful with. If they cheat and lie, then we have a tendency to want to do whatever so we can get ahead like they did. It's the patterns that we see. That's the reason patterns are so important. You live by this book, and then you compare the patterns to this book. And as you do that, you begin to have examples to live by, to guide by. Now, the world, all of their examples are flawed and bent and crooked and perverse. And eventually, if you don't live by the book, if you don't have a purpose to live and let your light shine, you will go astray. Enoch walked with God. What does that mean? Well, there are three people that says in Scripture that walk with God that I've identified. Enoch is one. No, well, look over in Genesis 6. Look over in verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So in the first six chapters, you find two men that walked with God. You don't find that a lot of other times in Scripture. Now, we know there are other men that did that, but there's not many that the Bible says he walked with God. There was a king named Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 17. The Bible says he walked with God. You'll notice, if you would, what does that mean to walk with the Lord? Well, turn over to 2 Chronicles 17. I want you to see it. It defines it for us. 2 Chronicles 17. Notice with me, if you would. 2 Chronicles 17. And notice verse number 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. Did you notice that? Now, listen very carefully. The first ways of David, which were what? David had the heart of God when he was young. But he strayed away. Bathsheba, Uriah, Absalom, Tamar. He didn't handle things right. He walked in the first ways of David. I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody, especially my son, to say, I want to be like Dad when he was young. That's your choice. It's my choice. I want to live from the first day to the last day and walk with God. That's what I want for everybody in this room. And the book of Genesis is a great history book for these few chapters here for us to learn. Not many people walk with God. But we can. Notice what it takes. Verse number 3. And he sought not to Balaam. So in order to walk with God, you can't seek out the gods of the world. And notice, if you would, in verse 4, but sought to the Lord God of his father. The first thing to walking with God is you've got to seek the Lord. You can't let the gods of the world affect you. You can't let all the religions of the world have an influence on you. You have to seek out the God of heaven. You've got to seek for Him. You've got to say, Lord, I want You. You've got to narrow your focus from all the gods that are in this world, the Muslim God, the Jehovah's Witnesses God, the Mormons God, the Catholics God, the Episcopals God, Church of Christ God, all these different gods, and you've got to narrow them all out and put them all out and say, I want You, Lord, the God of the Bible. I want You. And that's all of us in this room. That's the first step to walking with God. Notice number 2. He sought to the Lord God of his fathers. And number 2, he walked in his commandments. So it is doing his word. It is good works. It is obedience. You know, the Bible says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. But it also says, adults, obey your father, because it is right. It never changes. It's just the object of our obedience. Now, we should as children say, I want to obey my parents because of you, Lord. But that takes a lot of training and teaching. But that's why we teach our children to obey the Lord, obey us, and by doing that, they please the Lord. Because if we don't, when we hand them off to the Lord at 21, and they haven't been purposely obeying their parents for the Lord's sake, they'll veer off into the world. That's why we lose so many young people between the ages of 14 and 25. Because we didn't teach them. We didn't command that they understand. You've got to realize you're doing this not for me. Now, you're going to be in trouble with me. But eventually, you've got to understand there's a God in heaven that's going to take my place. I don't spank anymore at 25, but the God of heaven does. I don't chastise you or correct you anymore at 35, but the God of heaven does. You're always His. I'm just a caretaker until you're old enough to be on your own. All of us in this room got to understand that. All you young people got to understand that. Obedience never goes away. It's a condition of the heart. And it's got to be there before you can walk with God. Notice, if you would, walk in His commandments. I'll tell you this. I don't have any problem knowing I should tell the truth. I don't have any problem knowing I should be faithful to my wife. None whatsoever. If everybody in the whole world decided they were not going to be faithful to their wife because they passed a new law in Washington, it would not have any effect. I pray. It didn't on Noah. And it ought not to have an effect on you. And because all the other kids in the world go out and live promiscuously, you shouldn't. If all the other people in the world lie a little bit here or there, cheat a little bit there in school, I've heard reports and seen studies that like 70-something or 80-something% of all college seniors have cheated at some point in time to get through college. That ought not to be you. Because everybody else does it, doesn't make any difference. You cannot walk with God like Enoch and not be obedient. Just a part of life. So when you train your heart to be obedient as a child, you're teaching your children the way God wants them to be when they're old. It's critical. Obedience is demanded. Because God expects it. Notice, if you would, verse 4, walked in His commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So we have to avoid the things that displease the Lord. Here's where holiness comes back in. Here's where righteousness comes back in. You see, holiness is a separation from the things of the world. Righteousness is the doing of that which is right. They go together. You can't live your whole life by saying, I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. But you live your life saying, I want to do this, and I want to please the Lord, and I want to do all the things that are right. But every once in a while, Satan throws something up in your way. He'll throw a Bathsheba in your way. Every once in a while, the old devil will throw an opportunity for you to embezzle something. He'll throw an opportunity for you to lie about something. And that's the point in time when your holiness has to rise up. Your righteousness says, I want to do what's right. But your holiness comes up and says, I hate that. So we have to train ourselves. I want to do what's right. I want to do what's right. I want to love my wife. I want to love my wife. And then another, the old devil brings another woman up. I hate that. There's got to be a holy hatred of sin. Holiness is like that. And you can't walk with God unless you are holy and righteous. Young people, you've got to be that way. Moms and dads, we've got to be that way. I'm afraid we play footsie with sin too much. You know what that means? It's two people sitting there together and they're kind of touching each other. How many of you've seen couples that get close to each other and just kind of touch each other? Well, that's okay. As a husband and wife, you're sitting there and you're being romantic with each other, and all of a sudden, you can't be that way with the world. You can't be that way with sin. You can't play footsie with, well, that's just a small lie. Well, so-and-so does it. Can't be holy that way. Can't walk with God. That's why there are very few people in Scripture that ever, the testimony is, Enoch walked with God. There is blessing. Look at verse 9. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in His hand. The Lord will bless you if you walk with Him. Everybody that ever walked with God was blessed. Hey, how cool would it be to be, basically, if you live to be 800, let's multiply, divide that by 10. So if you live to be 80 years old or 90 years old, and now you're 300 and some years old, you're 35 years old, and all of a sudden, bang, you were at work one day, and you're in traffic to D.C., and all of a sudden, God just took you. How wonderful would that be? What a blessing Enoch had. To be one moment on the earth, the next moment in heaven. Because he pleased the Lord so much. Righteous and holy. If you have your Bible, turn back to Genesis. Now I want you to see this. In verse 32 of chapter 5, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So he has three sons at 500 years old. So he's been living in this world for 500 years. He has seen this world as wicked. And notice, if you would, in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Strive is to argue and to fuss and to fight and try to point out right. You've got to do what's right. That's not right. That's right. That's not right. That is right. You see, it's righteousness and holiness that parents are trying to teach their children. And young people, you've got to understand, your parents are in a real battle with the world because the world tells you that is right and it's wrong. And that is holy and it's unholy. So your parents are trying to protect you so that when you stand before the Lord, you can hear them say, well done. That's what they want for you. But parents, here we are. We are in the same struggle at work or this place or that place. And so the Lord says, I'm not always going to strive with you. Sooner or later, the Lord lets you go and says, either you do right on your own, but I'm not going to keep arguing with you. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And did you know? In chapter 6, got tired of it. Look in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. What was missing? They could have all walked with God if they'd done two things. What were they? Do what is right. try to obey the laws of the land, what the Lord wanted, try to be in His image, and hate that which is wrong. And nobody did either. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, you see, and I want you to follow with me. Everybody in this room has an imagination. And you know what that is? It's the things you think about. It's the things you dream about. That's your imagination. And he said the people on earth during Noah's day, every imagination of the thoughts of their heart, every picture in the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And God's holiness rose up and said, I can't stand that. And he did two things. He looked for the righteous. Verse 7, he decided he yielded to his holiness. I'm going to destroy man. I'm going to get rid of the sin. But before he did, he looked for the righteous. God will always do that. He always, his holiness rises up and says, I can't stand that. But he always looks for the righteous. And everybody in this room, we ought to be the same way. I hate sin. I hate this and that. Listen very carefully. Of all the people that are married in this room, you will lose your marriage if you don't hate every part of that which would break up your marriage. So when it first comes up, you've got to recognize it as unholy and I want no part of that. Or it will get you. Because if you let one thought, what if? You're in trouble. That's why bringing every thought, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ is the critical issue in all of our lives. Because we live in this world. We live in a world that's wicked. Where people do all kinds of things. They take drugs. They beat their wives. They curse their husbands. They walk out on each other. They waste their money. They lose their temper. You name it. They're vile in their affections. They have all kinds of things that they dream about and they want. I mean, when in the world is it that a person is really respected and looked up to when this side is green and this side is yellow and they got a number on their bare chest and it's 20 degrees in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we say, wow, there's a fan. And we look at that and say, we sort of, you know, that man, those people really love their team. There ought to be people where our lights shine and they see two things. They see holiness, things that we just can't tolerate, and they see righteousness. The things that we do. Together they form our light. And the world says there's something different about them. And God looked over the entire world. And every man and every woman, their thoughts were continually, well, if I had somebody else. Well, if I could have that house. If I could get that. If I could do this. If I could have crops like that. If I could have sheep like that. Boy, if I could have... And their thoughts were only evil continually. And there was one man that walked with God. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. What a horrible thing. His holiness rose up and said, I'm sorry I ever made man. And all would have been lost. But, and there is a but in verse number 8. But, we'll get to that next week. Let me ask you this question. Is there a but in Washington, D.C.? Does God look at this church, this place, and say, I'm really tired of the way those people live? But, fill in the blank, they walk with me. It's a choice everybody in this room can make. It saved the world. And so can you. You may say, well, Pastor, I can't make that big a difference. You will make that big a difference. Oh, maybe not the whole world, but you don't know what God has plans for you. You can make a difference, but your light must shine. Let's pray. Is your light shining tonight? Are you the butt in Washington, D.C.? But so-and-so is walking with me. If not, can I just challenge you tonight? Lord, I'm a little weak in my holiness. Would you help me? Lord, I'm a little weak in my righteousness. Will you help me? Lord, I want to walk with you. Maybe you need to come tonight and just talk to the Lord. Tell him that. Young people, I'm pleading with you. We need some young people that fill in. That you're the butt. You're the one that God says, but you're walking with me. We need some moms and dads that you're the butt. You're walking with me. We're going to have a word of prayer and stand and sing. If you need to come tonight, why don't you join the group that says we're going to walk with the Lord? I pray that there's a lot of us. I want to walk with the Lord. I really do want to hate the things He hates and love the things He loves. Maybe you need to come and say, you know, I want to join you, Pastor. I'm a lady, but I want to walk with God. Your home needs it. Your light has got to shine. Lord Jesus, would you touch our hearts?